Siren Radio.
So, where do we start, Anna? I mean, do we start with those ducklings in which you actually have the Facebook update? Honestly, ! They've had to withdraw them. We can't have... I mean, I can understand why, sitting around I mean, it's like Ben Lewis when he's doing a sort of public relations sort of thing, basically. You have a brainstorming meeting for Signet PR, when he was, of course, the chairman of Signet PR. No longer, but that's okay. And you sort of think, what great ideas. Well, duck, you think a crispy duck. Yeah, maybe. You might think a fluffy duck.
Or toilet bleach.
Toilet bleach duck, not really good for a food source. And you might think of ugly duckling, like ugly duck.
Thank you for looking at me when you said that, Alex. I really appreciate that.
You see how sensitive. You see how sensitive it can actually be. You know, ugly. But apparently, no. You haven't actually had racist ducks here, and the same reason I had to pull them all back because, of course, there's a big upset, Anna, that Fluffy Duck was yellow. It's amazing.
It's what do they call it? It's political correctness gone mad.
You'd use that cliche on air, Anna. You know, I really didn't think of anybody, I mean, a citizen of Jersey, actually using that line. Let's just test it in the studio, but then again, actually, we can't because we don't really have any ducklings in the studio. What we do have, though, is a little test that on the journey back from Sci-Fi Scarborough, Emily and, well, actually, it wasn't Emily, it was, of course, Eloise and myself.
Yeah, he's not very good at our names.
It's very difficult, you know, You know, telling the difference between Eloise and Emily, it's like telling the difference between Ben and Rory. Almost impossible. You know, you're talking about twins separated at birth. It's true, very true. Eloise, we were having this debate about should we not?
Should we?
Ben definitely would not like this at all in any way. He would go postal, potentially, on this. Abigail, you know, equally Bethany, not happy with this. But we thought, you know, you gambled. You said actually Emily would appreciate.
She needs to know.
She didn't listen to the Flash
album. I am, of course, referring to. Hello, Emily. Welcome to Siren. What's not to love? There we are. And if Robin Pierce is ready to actually work through that, I shall pass the thing over so that Hammy Hamster can actually restart. Sorry, I felt. Actually, Anna, to be fair, we had to sort of withdraw from the notion momentarily of racist ducks and actually bring in a hamster, because that maybe sort of calms things down a bit. Yeah?
I'm sure you can make it a racist hamster.
No. There's not a racist bone in Hammy's construction system. I will not have that.
See about that.
At all. just not going to work. But I will talk about this other little update you had, which was, of course, Paste Eater's Grave. So talk to us about this, you know, because clearly back in, where was it, 1906?
Yeah.
So 20th century.
You have to admit, it's a funny way to go. Well, not funny as in ha-ha, but it's a tragic way to go. Mm. And one wonders whether there was an autopsy and whether they identified the library with the offending glue or paste that he actually died chomping, and what there was that was so toxic in it to cause the death. But, yeah,
this is something
strange
to bear in mind for all dissertation students. As you can see, the unknown man died eating library paste. July the 14th, 1908. I think that should be put on board as clearly a warning, a kind of caveat to all undergraduates who are just tempted to spend too much time in the library. I know it's a shock, but, you know, unknown man died eating library paste. July the 14th, 1908.
What's his library paste?
You've got library background. Anna, would you like to explain what is library paste?
Well, I suppose it's things that hold books together again. I mean, we used to use PVC if things were coming off the spine. Mm. If it wasn't a valuable book, we'd use just basic PVC. Mm. But I suppose in the olden days, they made their own glue using fish bones boiled up or whatever. But whether there was something toxic in whatever they used may not have caused his death. Maybe it was something far more sinister.
As the story goes...
Dumped off by person unknown.
As the story...
A bit like
Bethany's threats to Abigail before the show, basically, when she wasn't here. As the story goes, a vagrant wandering the streets of Goldfield in 1908 was rummaging through the trash outside the local library, looking for something to eat. The best sustenance he came across was a jar of book paste. He would have found the paste surprisingly sweet because in addition to flour and water, it was 60% alum. Unfortunately, the concentration was deadly. The legend continues to say that when the townspeople found the deceased drifter, he was buried in Pioneer Cemetery, which was little more than a dirt patch. The grave was topped with a headstone that read, "Unknown man died, eating library paste, July 14th, 1908. You're a broadcast journalist, Emily. Would you follow that story up and check out the citizens of Trinity All Saints Leeds and say, have you ever tried library paste?
I'm not sure where the news values would be in that one.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Such a good answer.
Exactly.
He's worked you out already.
That's well set out for that one of you. Abigail, any questions you'd like to put to Anna Lewis about Essex or London or anything else from that point of view?
I mean, sure. I'm going to Essex this weekend. Do you have any tips for survival?
Well, I have a confession to make. I've never been to Essex.
Oh, my God.
Did I? I think I went, yeah, no, tell a lie, I went to Epping Forest. Is that in Essex?
Yes.
Yes, Epping. I've been to the edge of Epping Forest, and then I was told that lots of people were found lying dead in bags, and I was scared off it, so I didn't go through it. No, it was like dumping ground for like local mafiosi, so I kept away from it. But that's the edge of where I've been.
Not that we want to panic, but Ben Fleet. Bit sounds a bit dodgy to me, to be honest.
I'm really excited to go now. Exactly. Thank you so much.
And that's the joy of Anna Lewis, providing that help for our former colonies to actually sort of experience the joys of Essex in all sorts of ways. Is there anybody else you want to speak to, Anna, whilst we've got a few moments before we head off to William Coles and find out what he's doing up in Edinburgh? Got Bethany, who's still stressing about the fact that she's 3,000 words over her word count for her creative dissertation.
Oh, God, that is stressful. That is stressful. It's difficult. Get someone else to read it and see what they can think you could do away with in your dissertation. Mm-hmm. Don't do it yourself. Get someone else to do it. Read through it and just cull it by those 3,000 words. I'm sure someone who's a good friend will do that for you.
I've just realised Robin Pearce has actually posted an image of himself holding a copy of my very first graphic narrative comic book magazine. Yes, it's Carmine Infantino with the cover version of Batman from back in the day, 20th century. Robin staring at Batman over the side with dynamic crepe crusader slitting up. Is she the cause? Is she the cause? Poison Ivy. Is she the cause? We'll leave that as a narrative trope that we'll come back to. Probably seek the advice of Hammy from that point of view. By the way, Emily, happy with Hammy? Okay, we'll take some photographs of you with Hammy, obviously. Just to see. Good. Do you think you were correct there, Eloise? She didn't sort of run screaming from the studio and say, go,
I feel
go
like
away.
She's in pain inside, but hiding it really well.
What the rest of us then?
I'll have you know, Ben.
Welcome to the club.
On a serious note, Eloise lost her hamster recently. I thought he literally had just been lost and would come back again, but
her hamster.
He's transcended.
Yeah, he actually thought I'd just.
Put a photograph on Facebook.
Alex would be quite happy to lend you that.
He's not something you can hand out. It's ridiculous. Anyway, Bethany, would you like to put those last two questions to Anna Lewis, please?
Of course. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Anna?
I have indeed. Thank you very much. Enjoy the Essex. Everybody enjoy Essex. I hope I haven't put anyone off.
When you say enjoy Essex, I mean, five of us here will not be going anywhere near the county for quite some time. It's only our bold and brave and bright, sparkly, orange, high-vis jacketed Abigail LeMay who's going to be doing that.
We sent our Canadian representative.
Yeah. Exactly. I really am a risk taker, It's just what I am.
Need to be.
Probably the most extraordinary thing ever. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
And will you join us again soon, please, Anna?
I would love to. Thank you very much for asking. Cheers.
How was the chiropractor, by the way? Did he turn up?
Yes, I was cricked, and my neck is now it's got to be at least a centimetre in the right direction because it's slightly off kilter. If I look at my X-rays, I worry. I look like a Neanderthal. My head's still stooping forward, so it's good to go and see a chiropractor when you have necks like that.
Good point. Well made. I sleep in a fever, so this is my life. Cry in my sleep,
cry boy, cry boy. Just makes me weep when I try, how I try. Know what it means to work hard on machines, it's a labor.
time. There's hope in your eyes. I don't need a religion. Cause this love never dies.
Ideal soundtrack music if you're crossing a weak bridge, i.e. a bridge that hasn't been working out. Build up those bridge muscles! Personally, Eloise, I blame the satellite navigation system.
I blame you, to be honest.
Why? Are you suggesting that my inbuilt navigational system to get you from Hull to Scarborough via Lincoln, or Lincoln via Hull, etc., was just in error there? I can't believe this.
It was all the Flash albums, it was holding the car down.
Literally, that song has traumatised me. So.
Oh, play it again, please. Put it on right now.
Yeah, it's a way forward. Meanwhile, what we do need to actually mention right now, Abigail, is no less than this little number here, which goes...
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
And that means it falls to you, Abigail, to chat with William about life, the universe, all sorts of things, because apart from myself, you're the only other person in the studio who's had physical contact, close encounter of the third kind, with William Coles.
Isn't that sweet?
It is. Possibly scary as well, depending on your state of the Atlantic, but yeah, either way, it's fine. What would you like to find out from William today?
How's the weather today?
Oh, wow.
I want to know what it's like in Edinburgh today.
I have absolutely no idea. I'm with my folks down in the soft south in Hampshire.
Wow, that's seriously soft.
How's the weather in Hampshire today?
No, I'm disappointed. I wanted to know what it was like in Edinburgh.
I don't know there, but in Hampshire, it's great. I've been out playing golf with my old man, who's 87, and he can still play pretty well. He gets on a golf buggy now, and he can't hit the ball as far as he used to hit it, but he's pretty useful around the greens.
Well, congratulations to Bill Coles Sr. Or is he Bill Coles Sr., or is he just is he another Coles in line?
He's called Bibbly Bobbly. Bobbly.
Bibbly Bobbly. Okay, that's fine. Just note that down from that point of view. And we were just talking about basically Abigail's journey to Essex, to be precise, Benfleet in Essex. The last advice she actually had was don't go. And then that was followed up by, indeed, Anna Lewis, who said last time she was in Essex, effectively the whole forest was actually cordoned off because of dead bodies being left there by the local mafia, apparently. So you're a journalist, Bill, you're a writer, etc. Well, do you think Abigail will cope with Essex, or is it a case of, well, Canada might get used to the fact that she's going to stay in Essex and that's it, basically? She'll be dancing around the white handbag with the white stilettos, and wow, she'll find it's the only way to go.
Yes, I think she'll love it in Essex. She'll get, my first girlfriend was from Essex. She will find a nice lover there, and she will settle down and have kids. Yes, I'm sure.
Yes. So no pressure.
As long as you've got the fake tan ready, get yourself a nice vajazzle, that's what they call them, isn't it?
She's got the orange jumper, we're all good.
No pressure there whatsoever, Abby.
Just need to get yourself an accent and you sort it.
Yeah, that's the key thing. And if you're worried about the accent, effectively, you can always be dubbed over the movie track by Bethany.
You might make it to an ITV series as well. You might make it just about into an ITV series.
I think so. You're bright enough. Very good.
Wow.
Thank you for that, William. I think that's helped immeasurably. I mean, I say it helps from your own point of view. I mean, you do get to pet animals in Lincoln, but you do get to actually go to Essex and probably sort out the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think I'm I'm a bit frightened just in it for different reasons.
Well, there you have it. Bill, we have a newbie in the studio who has made the journey all the way from North Hallerton. I'll say that again, North Hallerton. You know, that's a wonderful sort of place that many people just pass through. Indeed, as the actress that we met at Sci-Fi Scarborough said, and she knows of what she speaks, of course, because she was Caroline Blakiston, North Hallerton, yes, I passed through that on the train. Never stopped, but I passed through it on the train. Well, Emily has done more than pass through it on the train. She's actually sort of taken the train, left North Hallerton, and made her way to the Siren Studios today because she's just on a mission to kind of follow the Midweek Drive line like some crazy, wonderful work placement-seeking soul from the Trinity and All Saints College in Leeds. And university, of course, no longer a college, it's a university. Do you want to have a few words with her? And so she can go back to North Hallerton proud in the notion that she has at least been interviewed by William Coles, writer, romantic novelist, and indeed holder of shark's teeth.
Hi, Emily. Welcome to Siren. I'm apparently the sort of driller-in-chief of this radio station. I'm supposed to ask you stupid questions, like, can you tell us anything exciting about North Hallerton, apart from the fact that it's got a station that we've all been through?
It's very small, so I think probably the most exciting thing about North Hallerton is that it's got two churches. I've lived there my whole life.
That's good.
It's the USP.
Yeah, exactly. Two churches.
All right, okay. Are these Protestant churches, one Catholic, one Protestant?
No, I think they're both Protestant.
Okay. And tell us anything exciting about these churches then. Have you been in them? Were you christened in them?
I was confirmed in one of them, yeah.
All right, okay.
Apart from that, there's nothing. There's not much in North Hallerton.
Well, you say that, but
it's a train station.
It's a few shops.
And in addition to that,
there was a prison. It's closed down now, but there was a prison.
Was it for all the Essex people? Sorry, if you're in Essex, ignore that. I know Ed Wellman's a big Essex fan. We're only joshing, really, with respect to all sorts of things there. Maybe not. Interestingly enough, when we were looking at the Emily Hartley CV, no mention of fly fishing. Only one or two people remember that J.R. Hartley number. Including possibly yourself, Bill. But lots of messages about the fact that, Emily, you've combined the fact that you work in a bar as well as laying cables. Now, I think it's fair to say that Bethany, Eloise, and indeed Abigail have never had the joy of laying cables.
Yeah, that's just for the automated princess.
Yeah, but let's talk about these laying of cables and why you sort of went through that, because in addition to that, you're also a Young Musician of the Year as well.
Yeah, well, I build fences for one of my jobs. Mm. But
that's what we like to hear, you see. The building of fences, not walls, but fences, as we said last Friday.
Wooden ones and water.
I prefer mending fences.
Mending. It sounds like minding, but it's actually mending fences. Mending fences is something that you actually do in Edinburgh. It's like, oh, bring out the mending, you know, but no. Bending.
Wow.
Mending fences.
Yeah, building.
But you don't mend them?
If they're broken, yeah.
Wow, she doesn't. You see, Bill, never let it be said that we don't push those boundaries just a wee bit further. In a few moments, Chantal Duncan from Scotland will be talking about all that glitters is not gold. And
we can ask her about the weather and she'll be able to tell us what it's actually like up there.
Thank you. Yeah. Exactly.
That's really important.
First world problems.
What's the weather like? Yeah.
Absolutely critical. I'm sorry for a moment, Ben. I thought you were fiddling with the microphone, but I see you're only fiddling with your reusable water bottle. Very good. Sometimes you get strange noises on tables. Abigail, would you like to ask William those last two questions? Because let's face it, in the words of Bethany, you may not have long for us in this world.
For sure. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have. Thank you so much for asking, Abigail.
Oh, of course. And will you be joining us again?
Yes, next week, I hope.
Nice.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
You can always tell when summer's around the corner when you actually feature the association with Windy. And away it goes. Now, it's time to actually welcome back to the Midweek Drive an awesome, talented individual who blew us away our first debut and indeed continues to blow folk away in so many wonderful ways. Based in London, but originally from Scotland, it's Chantelle Duncan. How are you, Chantelle?
I'm really well, thanks, Alex. How are you?
Delighted to speak with your good self now. As we said, you've worked with Alexander O'Neill, ABC, Melanie C, Jamelia, Joss Stone, Bonnie Tyler, Norina Palo. But finally, you are stepping into the spotlight with a brand spanking new solo album, which is, quite frankly, amazing. It's called Breathe, which we have to do, of course, Chantelle. Otherwise, we might as well just give up now, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, we'd like to endorse that from a public service perspective here on Siren Radio. Indeed, Southside Broadcasting, if you don't breathe, you'll die. End of. We have five folk in the studio who, in no particular order, are Ben, Emily, Eloise, Bethany and Abigail. They're all keenly awaiting the first play of this particular track that we're going to actually listen to. It's All That Glitters Is Not Gold. It's so true. Would you like to share with us some thoughts about this particular single, which is the first one released from, of course, the album Breathe?
It's a song about opening your eyes to people that can be quite narcissistic, something that I think that you don't recognise when you're a little bit younger.
Mm. Narcissistic.
Wisdom of getting a bit older and people of true colours, really.
All style, surface gloss, no substance. I've seen the video. I was waiting for those ducks to move. They just stay there. It's the glistening of the background. It's just astounding.
We're actually focusing on the Breathe video at the moment, and I'm getting a proper video done for that one in the next couple of months, which I shall look forward to because it shall be an extravaganza of gold, one would imagine.
It's the only way forward, let's face it. If you're going to do a video, you need to have an extravaganza of gold from that pipe. Listen, stay with us, Chantal. We're going to speak with you after we've heard this particular number, and the rest of the team will be asking a whole range of questions as well. This is the awesome Chantal Duncan. All that glitters is not gold. So what say you, Canadian Abigail LeMay, about All That Glitters Is Not Gold?
I think it's fabulous. I think you have a beautiful voice.
Thumbs up from the Canadian routine. Well done.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you.
On the other side, the dark side, Ben Lewis from Brighton, what did you make of All That Glitters Is Not Gold?
Yeah, it was a breath of fresh air. see what job I did there? Breathe.
Yeah,
there we go. Thank you. There we go.
That's so kind of you, everyone. Thank you.
Well, we haven't finished yet. Three more folk need to actually pass their views. Let's go to Bethany. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was really good. That would probably be good for when I'm writing my dissertation. It's very calming.
Very true. Yeah. And whether, of course, you choose to adopt the Chantal Duncan cap with a little red star on, which for a moment I thought, oh, have you gone to Tiananmen Square looking at these photographs and images? Why the cap, the green cap with the red star on, Chantal?
Well, it's just a hat that my husband had kicking around, actually.
I see.
Just looked good at the time, well, I think. Sort of a retro-y, rebellious kind of look.
And on such things are entire careers made and founded.
I'm not a communist, I assure you.
Either way, you know, it's not. We're not saying on Siren Radio that communists can't make good music. Clearly, you know, it's a political ideology. I mean, it's just a way forward. I mean, the Volga Boat song back in the day, awesome. Let's move on to Emily. Your thoughts?
I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, very relaxing. I was just wondering, how do you come up with your melody lines and everything?
Well, often it works. It works every which way, actually. Sometimes I'll sit at the piano and play some chords and find a progression I like, and then I'll find a melody I like, and then work the lyrics around that. Sometimes I might be in the shower and the lyrics will just come to me from nowhere, and then I've got to, and then I find the melody, and then I sit to the piano to find the chords to work around that. So any which way, really.
Yeah.
Very good. Which leaves us with Eloise.
Yeah, I really liked it. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album, actually.
Thank you.
It's well worth actually. Has the album been released yet? Have I sort of mistaken that? Is the album sort of released later on, or is it available now so you
can
access it?
It's available now. Well, yes, it's all available on it's on iTunes. You can get it from my Bandcamp, which is chantelduncan.bandcamp.com. Or if you go to my website, chantelduncan.com, you can find a route to it there.
Now, you sing regularly for radio, television and film, not simultaneously, presumably, because that can be very confusing, although it's media conversions, perhaps. But we do have a critical question that, again, takes us back to Abigail. We spoke to William Coles. Normally he's up at Edinburgh. This time around he's in Hampshire. I don't know why. He's visiting his father, I believe. But would you like to put the question to Chantal, even though she's also no longer in Scotland?
Well, then, no. What if she doesn't know?
She might, though.
Do you know what the weather's like in Edinburgh today?
Oh, do you know, I usually go on my weather app and have a look, but I didn't.
This is, you know what, don't even worry about it, because I can do the same thing. It's totally fine. This has nothing to do with anything that you're doing today.
No, but it's true. I mean, I've been in Scottish, I've got loads of family and friends up there, and I do regularly, probably every other day, see what the weather's like at home.
I mean, it could, of course, have been a coded question. You know, what is the weather like in Edinburgh? Could be Scottish people are not all communists. You know, it could be a code from that point. Who knows? It could
be
socialist. But yeah, it could be a political message that's coming through on that line. You know, it could be a case of Brexit, not for us. You know, all sorts of things could be sort of encoded in that.
Right.
Anyway. But hopefully that's at least almost put it to bed. At least we'll find out what the weather is like in Wales when we speak to Robin Pearce, because we know he's in Wales.
Perfect.
Likewise, Phil Leonis in Los Angeles, hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Chantal, would you like to throw any questions to the team here? Because, I mean, it's an awesome sort of debut, etc. Normally we sort of give the opportunity to turn around. I mean, you've got... I mean, I'll give you a brief description here of the various sort of one-liners. Abigail, over here for a wee while longer because she's been doing a year with us at the University of Lincoln, home of Siren Radio, as part of a Canadian abroad overseas doing British stuff in higher education. We've got Eloise, who is a fantastic lass from London, Hammersmith to be precise, and she's currently actually in the process of actually putting her final dissertation together, all about Gene Kelly and various other bits and pieces as well. She'll be possibly even sticking around to do a medieval history postgraduate course. It's fantastic. We've got Emily Hartley, who is from Northallerton, which, of course, you pass through if you take the train from London to Edinburgh. Emily is a student at Trinity and All Saints University, or Leeds Trinity and All Saints University, just to be precise. We begin on board doing our placement with us. Ben Lewis, what can I say about Ben? Effectively, Ben from Brighton, and effectively addresses a whole range of other bits and pieces. Have we forgotten it? Oh, yes, we've forgotten Bethany. Bethany, of course, from the Midlands, specifically Solihull, who have recently decided to demolish their Lucas factory because basically they've just said it might be a wonderful sort of source of car industry, but we're just going to demolish
it. Wasn't my fault.
And replace it with those other bits and pieces.
Nothing to do with me.
She is reading English at the University of Lincoln and doing a fine job of it too. So there we are. Who do you wish to go to, Chantel?
I will go to Eloise. Is it Eloise who's doing
Gene
Kelly?
Yeah, that's me.
What made you decide on Gene Kelly?
Well, I'm just a massive fan of him, really. I think he's wonderful, and there's not actually a lot of research out there on his masculinity within all different types of his musicals. So I thought I'd have a look at that.
Wonderful, yeah.
And you've also connected with his widow as well, I believe.
Yeah, Patricia, yeah. I have her as a friend on Facebook.
Just goes to show how these students will go that extra distance, and that's why their midweek drive-out's extraordinary. That was probably one of the best interview questions we've had for many a year, Chantel. It's great stuff. Chantel,
on the spot.
Yeah, but we knew you could cope, you see. You know, first time round, no, but this time, you know, breathe. That's important, they breathe, like the album. Chantel Duncan. bandcamp.com is one location for the album. You can also go to chantelduncan.com. It's been awesome connecting with your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Chantel Duncan?
It's been lovely, and it's felt like a little community having everyone there. Thank you.
That's exactly what we're trying. It's that little community that's actually there. I could have introduced you to Hammy Hamster as well, but that might be too... too problematic, but you know, it's
extra
the way forward. I mean, it's definitely done. Next up, before we ask you, will you be kind enough to return? We need to give you a choice of music, and could be an interesting one where you take this through. You can either go to OMD, Sailing on the Seven Seas, or from the 1960s, Cinderella Rockefeller with Esther and Abby Oferim. That's Cinderella Rockefeller or Sailing on the Seven Seas.
It's got to be OMD, yeah.
Yeah, I think sighs of relief are being breathed across the thing as you didn't go for Cinderella. No, it's very good. Will you be kind enough to return on the show, Chantel, in the near future?
I would love to. That would be super. Thanks, Ali.
A round of applause for Chantel Duncan, please. Now, those of you who remember back to previous adventures and episodes of the Midweek Drive might recall a time, back end of last year, where I was obviously having grave difficulty actually sussing out the fact that our next guest wasn't actually from Wycombe, W-Y-K-O-M-E, and I was talking all about the football team and so on. No, it's actually the idyllic village settlement of Wickham, W-I-C-K-H-A-M, on the south coast of England. A common mistake, I'm sure you'll appreciate, DL, but, you know, I wanted to clarify that there before we went down another line.
Yeah,
it was embarrassing. Yeah. I mean, more from my part of view than yours, because you were so gracious, you didn't even acknowledge, what the heck is this interviewer? He basically he seems to be from a different part of the country entirely. Just because they begin with W, I might have been in Walsall, you know?
Yeah. No, it happens a lot, Wycombe or High Wycombe, yeah.
Yeah, you see, you got high. I mean, Abigail, you'd be confused as a Canadian, would you not, about High Wycombe, Low Wycombe?
Yeah, of course.
Any sort of Wycombe that's actually there. Well, yeah. Wycombe on the south coast of England is something which probably closer to Brighton than where we actually are. Where exactly, I mean, if I was to say, how close are you to Brighton, DL, what would the response be?
It's about an hour. So if you're looking at a map, of the United Kingdom, we're immediately on the coast, immediately north of the Isle of Wight.
Does that help, Abigail? No, no.
Right, in the middle at the bottom, Abigail. Right in the middle.
Yeah,
that's in the middle at the bottom.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not a euphemism. It's just the way it is. Okay, I will give a shout out to the person who actually texted in for you.
It's my friend Becky. She's also in the English program. She's in her third year writing her diss in the library right now.
Splendid. And listening to the program.
And inspiring. Check it out. So, hey, girl.
well, DL, to actually help people with their dissertations, what better way than to actually talk about Strong? Because, you know, you are, it is, it's just, I mean, a singer-songwriter came to light, obviously, with a whole range of things, and your knack for hard-hitting, brutally honest lyrics, an ear for soaring melody, and a voice that could bring a tear to the eye of even the most stone-hearted souls. Ben is set to cry.
I see this as a challenge. Competition.
So would you like to, DL, just talk to us about Strong, what it's all about, before we actually launch into this whole sequence, which may indeed end up making Ben cry?
Hopefully it won't make you cry too much, because this is intended to be a uplifting sort of anthem, really, about the strength that people can find when things are really difficult. And it's actually inspired by watching my 15-year-old stepdaughter fight and win against cancer. And she was just so amazingly strong, and she dealt with it better than everybody else put together, and we're all, you know, falling to pieces, and she's just, no, I'm going to do this, and she just did, you know, 6 rounds of chemo and let all her hair fall out and just took it all in her stride, and that's where the kind of idea, you know, of that particular word came from, that, you know, strength doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be obvious, you know, it's, you know, showing a huge amount of inner strength. You know, she's a tiny little dot of a thing, and she just has this incredible inner strength. So, and I think, you know, we can all find that when you really need it.
Way forward, DL Strong on Siren Radio on the Midweek Drive. We'll be back with you after this.
Don't listen to the poison of the boys and girls who have given up. Don't give in to the treaty that what's easy is gonna be enough. Let your heart say. They're telling you it's over. There's no hope for the dream that you once had. They're telling you to put up and shut up. You're nothing without them. But it's a new day. Looking for the answer, take a chance on the things you can't control. Stop worrying that someone is gonna outrun
into someone else's goal. Make your own way.
Awesome track, but it didn't move Ben to tears, but it was great anyway. What did you think, Bethany?
It was really uplifting. Yeah, I really liked it.
In the library, clearly Becky would have been moved by that to the extent that she says it's just like Beyonce. Not quite, but there you go.
She loved it. She loved it.
Nice.
Thank you.
Eloise.
Yeah, I really liked it. It was hard not to dance in the studio.
I could see a situation where, obviously, you need to have lots of exploding fireworks in the background there and lots of celebrations and big sort of finish from that value. Emily?
Yeah, it was very motivational and empowering.
You can take it back to the students at Trinity and All Saints and motivate them on that basis alone, really. Would you do it on the woodwind, actually? Is it woodwind instruments you play? Or brass?
No, I do play woodwind. Yeah. I mean, you can play any song, can't you?
We could indeed, yeah. Right. It's, the offer is there, DL. If you want a woodwind specialist who is Young Musician of the Year in 2011, Emily's your girl.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's all right. I like to connect people on this sort of system. And what about yourself, Bethany?
Why would you ask?
Ben, of course. The
easy to confuse us both,
yeah,
isn't it, Alex?
So similar.
These days with gender fluidity, Ben, obviously, I like to ensure that everybody is given the equal opportunity.
No, I mean, I'm not from Brighton.
Exactly. I don't want to just classify somebody as being male or female just on the basis of the line. Anyway.
Of course. It was a very good song. I really enjoyed it, actually. It was, like I said, like everyone, sort of echo everyone else's points. It's been empowering and obviously strong in itself. But, it was really enjoyable to listen to.
Thumbs up all round.
Well, I enjoyed it.
What we look for. And how can people actually get hold of this? Because I don't think it's been released, is it? Or has it?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it's on iTunes. Perfect. So if you just, pop DL Music into Google.
As indeed is Fearless and various other bits and pieces as well. We did talk about this when you were at the age of 3. Your father thrust a guitar into your hands. Your mum was playing non-stop Joni Mitchell, Carole King and Paul Simon records. Clearly if it's not grounds for some sort of therapy in years to come, you're going to turn out into a musician. Let's open it up. Any questions for DL Abbey?
Well, I was going to ask and see if there were any specific records that kind of influenced your music, but I guess that kind of answered it for me, unless you have any more.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Abby. That's a really nice question. Tapestry, Carole King's Tapestry was a massive influence. The Best of the Hollies, that sort of thing. But yeah, all of those, Joni Mitchell, Carole King, Bob Dylan, all of those sorts of things that were my parents' formative years sort of taste definitely influenced me a lot.
Particularly interesting in terms of the story of DL, we have on the Facebook page, of course, injected with a love of music from infancy by her parents. I don't think that's available in the NHS somehow, unless we're talking hyperbolic syringe here. Just a thought. We never know what's happening.
No, not quite.
Yeah. Bethany, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to know what your sort of writing process is. Do you write this song yourself?
I did write this song myself, yeah. I have a few sort of different processes, really. My favourite is when it just kind of happens and it's not really any of my business, and I just feel like the music just kind of comes through me. But with this one, we actually collaborated with, well, I wrote the song myself, and we recorded it in Hollywood with a friend of ours called Billy Leffler. And so Chris Wood, who plays bass in my band, we both went over to LA and recorded it with Billy. And he had this vision for the sort of, he's a drummer, so he had the vision for the sort of, you know, percussive, you know, all the clapping and all that kind of thing, of like making it really sound really big and kind of like that, like gang vocals kind of sound. But yeah, lyrically, like lyric and melody is my thing, and I like to, once I've got a sort of a rhythm of the lyric that, like a pattern of the lyric that I want to follow, and I sort of flesh that out with the story. But it normally starts with like quite a strong idea of either a story or a theme or something that I want to say, and then I sort of fill out the detail of the story to fit the pattern of my lyric that I've come up with. But
as I said, one word, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, big question for Emily now. Emily, should we or should we not press the like button on DL's Facebook page?
Absolutely, we absolutely should.
Well, that's it. We're gonna, anybody disagree? No, I'm going to do it now. There, it's done. It's been liked. The page has been liked. Trio is there, sorted through. I'm sure the rest of the team as well will locate DL at DL Music UK and sort out all manner of bits and pieces as well, spreading the word. And of course, Abigail, you're going to take that to Canada and make sure everybody in Canada appreciates them as well, because she's done Hollywood, so obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Last two questions for DL, please. Abigail.
Have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us today?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Yes.
So, losing something in translation. I know she's Canadian. Don't worry. It's okay.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's always good fun talking to you guys.
Oh, lovely. And will you be joining us again?
Yeah, I'd love to. Anytime, yeah.
Excellent.
Lovely.
Bring on the Hollies.
I played a janitor, you played a monitor. Then you played with older boys and prefects. What's the attraction in what they're doing?
Hey, Carrie Ann, what's your game? Now can anybody play? Hey, Carrie Ann, what's your game? Now can anybody play?
You're always something special to me, quite independent, never caring. You lost your charm as you were aging. Where is your magic disappearing?
Hey, Carrie Ann, what's your game? Now can anybody play? Hey, Carrie Ann, what's your game? Now can play.
You're so, so like a woman to me.
So like a woman to me.
So,
so,
so like a woman to me.
Like a woman to me.
Still learning, you use my mind and I'll be your teacher. When the lesson's over,
you be with me. Then I'll hear the other people saying, hey, Carrie-Anne, what's your game? How can anybody play? What's your game? Now can anybody play?
Harmonies personified, the Hollies and Carrie-Anne. Astoundingly, in the studio, very few people actually had ever heard of the Hollies. Can you believe it, Graham Harper?
I mean, cannot believe that at all.
It's just shocking. I mean, it really is. I mean, they've heard of Beyoncé. It's all right, Abigail's friend Becky. We'll play some Beyoncé before too long. I mean, what does she want? She want Countdown, Love on Top, Around the World, Pretty Hurt, 7-Eleven, Him for the Weekend. Does she be, what's she been? Find out. Do some research, basically. Just find out. But after award-winning director Graham Harper back with us. We have got a mystery voice for you, Graham, actually.
Exciting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you say exciting, obviously there are gradations of excitement. There's the excitement you get when you're doing an Inside Number 9 episode. That's very exciting. There are excitings when you're actually directing David Tennant in Doctor Who. That's quite exciting. There are all sorts of things that are coming through. So, you know, I don't want to over-egg the pudding on this one, but it was something that Eloise was one of the first things you actually said when he came to the studio today. He said, have you got the thing specially set up for Graham?
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, and as Emily has yet to actually meet your good self, Graham, you know, clearly this is a whole new wonderful world from that point of view. So Ben doesn't even know what we're talking about because you were in Scarborough.
No,
that's all right.
No.
Bethany is currently in deep meditation, sort of thinking, what place is this? Where am I coming from? And Abigail, well, she's from Canada, and we know as before.
Abigail.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi.
Again.
It's in fact, as a director, perhaps you'd like to test Bethany's official impersonation of a phrase.
No,
we're putting you on the spot now. What if say that those words that apparently sound just like Abigail.
Wait, should I say it first?
No, because they won't be able to tell the difference anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot. Like, it's a lot.
Mm. Thank you.
Go on. No, go on.
That was Abigail. Now me. It's a lot.
That wasn't a mystery voice, but...
No, sorry. Yeah.
No, your mystery voice, Graham. Are you ready for the mystery voice?
Go on, I'm ready.
13 seconds. Here it comes.
Hello, I'm going to sing the praises of Graham Harper, who's one of the most wonderful directors and lovely people, person you could possibly meet. Yeah, yes, I'm here in Scarborough. How about that?
So who is he, Graham?
Oh, do you know, it sounds like someone I know called Matt. Matthew.
No. Do you want to hear it again?
Go on.
Hello, I'm going to sing the praises of Graham Harper, who's one of the most wonderful directors and lovely people, person you could possibly meet. Yeah, yes, I'm here in Scarborough. How about that?
Does that help?
Gosh, I know that voice.
Do you want some clues?
Go on.
He claims that you got very annoyed with him, very, very annoyed, on a certain television detective programme because he was portraying a director, and he said, you... You have taken that all from me. You know, you're doing me. You're impersonating me. Hence the Abigail impersonation. I know, exactly.
Beyonce, naughty.
You know, that's the critical thing. So any ideas as to who we're trying to do now?
The only person that I wasn't annoyed at all, I just got a shock, was Terry Malloy.
Is he right? Yeah, there we are.
Hey! He was very funny. I recognised me in his performance, and I was a bit a joke upset, wasn't I? I thought it was very funny. And if I behaved like that, it was terrible. But there we are.
Well, you see, Eloise honed in on Terry at Sci-Fi Scarborough because Daleks were surrounding him. He is indeed, I think, the president of the Dalek Makers Club, the Sons of Scarrow. This is one of the reasons why Ben gets a bit scared by science fiction events. He's only done one so far. And, you know,
once enough. No, it's all a good laugh.
Yeah, but Eloise, your thoughts on Terry Molloy, of course, because you had you met him before? I mean, he doesn't like the driving around Lincoln at all. Basically,
no, he's very upset with
very
the road system in Lincoln.
The road system in Lincoln.
I feel like he blamed us for that.
And you know, that moment, Graham, where you think we could have a difficult interviewee on our hands here.
Yes, definitely. Lord, and he is difficult.
There we are. It was also Emily's first time meeting Terry Molloy. I mean, your thoughts, your impressions. I mean, you're not really a Who fan as such, but you know.
No, but he did write the children's book Montmorency Montgomery Bear. And I've definitely read that when I was a child.
You say that so well. I mean, I spent, as you can tell, and indeed probably our awesome Starburst Lee writer Robin Pierce will have gone through the part, which I thought I'd leave it in, because you know, I could have actually edited it out. I think I took about 17 takes to actually simply say Montgomery, Montmorency.
You still didn't even get it correct at the end.
I still
struggled.
It's hopeless.
And it was
hopeless.
Right in front of you as well, which makes it worse. Yes.
It was, of course, Emily, the tale of...
Montmorency, Montgomery Bear.
Montmorency Montgomery Bear.
And he wrote that?
Based on his very own bear that he brought along with the Sons of Scarrow to Scarborough.
Oh, lovely.
Hopefully he was at the right event. No, of course he was at the right event. I noticed, Eloise, you did notice he was sitting away from the rest of the celebrities. Cause,
yeah,
you know,
it's like he didn't want to know them.
No association,
all on his own.
No association with the Ewok. No association with the other lad from Brighton, of course, Andrew Lee Potts. But, you know, I think he was happy.
Yeah, he seemed
He's good. A nice man. He's a very nice and a really, really good actor.
Well, he was, of course, Davros, and the few surviving Davroses that's actually around, because Julian Bleach, I think you also worked with when he was Davros.
Yeah. No, he was good.
All right, push comes to shove. Terry might not be listening to this. Who knows? Which one would you go for, Terry Molloy or Julian Bleach?
You can't ask that. They were both... I thought the performances were... I mean, you couldn't tell the difference in terms of the voice and the characters. Mm. And they were both smashing to work with. It was a shame that Terry wasn't, didn't come back and play Davros. But that was the producer's choice, and I went with it. I thought... Yeah. No reason why somebody else can't play that part.
Perfectly understandable, and that's show business in many ways.
I'm afraid so.
Yeah. Okay, Graham, would you like to dedicate the next piece of music to Abby's friend?
Becky.
To who?
It's Becky, apparently. Yes. It's Becky. Have I met her before? Is she...
I don't think
so. I mean, not that has any relevance whatsoever, because after all, radio presenters don't necessarily meet everybody, you know. So we try, but there we are. So why is she gone for Beyoncé?
I mean, why not? It's Beyoncé.
Well, I would personally have had Lieutenant Pigeon and Mouldy Old Doe, which we will be playing later on.
There we go.
Because I think it leads us into Robin Pearce and probably take us out of Richard Edwards. Have we got a tune from Beyoncé that you were specifically wanting to actually... I mean, I don't think she's ever really been the same since she left Destiny's Child, personally, but there we are.
Let's go for 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven. We encountered this thing before, Graham? 7-Eleven.
No, I'm going to be excited.
It's a story.
Okay, well, Graham, would you like to big this up, obviously, in a classic Italia Conti way? Think about lots of energy, bags of energy, gov. Okay, go.
Oh, so here is dedicated to Becky, Beyoncé singing 7-Eleven.
see, that's what I mean. If she had Destiny's Child, they would have actually given her some more production. They would have brought her into four. I mean, Graham, what did you make of 7-Eleven?
I think that would have sounded better if Pinky and Perky had sung it.
Exactly. Or, if not Pinky and Perky, Hammy Hamster, cue Hammy. Would you like to say a quick hello from Hammy Hamster? The team are too sort of excited to actually get Hammy's return to the whole thing, but I will simply say, hello, Graham. Nice to hear your voice again.
Nice to hear your voice again.
Fabulous.
Exactly. That's what we
absolutely
like to do.
Absolutely fabulous. Why do they singers do that?
I don't know.
Cher started it, and it's awful, isn't it?
Yeah. Never mind. It's a vocoder. I think that's the key thing from that point of view. Never mind.
It's a filler. That's all it can be.
Filler.
Record filler.
May the 17th, day two of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival. Hopefully, Graham, you'll be meeting up with us in London somewhere. When I say us, obviously not everybody here, because Abigail won't even be in the British Isles at that stage. She'll be back in Canada. Eloise, probably. Ben, possibly. And then Bethany, well, she's sorting things out, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, are you set and ready? Well, we'll probably meet up with the likes of Anna Lewis, Richard Fitzwilliams, and, who knows, even Louis Savvy from Sci-Fi London as well.
Wow, that's going to be a lot of people. I look forward to that.
Well, we'll do something. We'll have lots of sort of air conditioning things to work through. It'll be splendid. Who, Graham, would you like to ask you the last two questions? You can have either Ben from Brighton, Bethany from Solihull. It's in the East Midlands. Or is it? Is it West Midlands? Technically, it's West.
I'm near West Midlands.
You are. Yeah, West.
North. We'll just say North.
Bromsgrove, Solihull. The joys of Emily Hartley, who is, of course, from Northallerton. We've gone through it many a time. Wonderful place,
didn't
we?
Northallerton.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
why don't Emily and Bethany do it together?
Well,
see if they can work that out.
There we are.
So it'd be a little...
Yeah, whoa. That was the sound of Bethany's brain just beginning to kick into gear.
Do you want some?
Do it together. Ask him, has he had a really interesting time? And is he coming back again?
Oh, okay.
It's not too difficult.
One,
really.
Two, okay. Three. Oh,
have good. You had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Mm. That's one person, yes.
That's me, yeah.
And will you be joining us again?
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Say, that wasn't too difficult at all.
No, I thought they should do it together in harmony.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, please. It's Emily's fault.
It's not worth it. It's too many words.
Sometimes you have to realise if we go with that overreacher, we can have all sorts of strange things together. You remember Lieutenant Pigeon, of course, and Mouldy Oldo. I can offer you that.
Do.
Or it's like Bodie Odo, but Mouldy
Oldo.
Is
it supposed to be Lieutenant, though? Not Lieutenant, because we're not in America.
Yeah, it is actually quite right, Lieutenant Pigeon. And it was the mother of the singer who actually played piano on this in the old Honky Tonk Way. We can either offer you that, or we can actually give you a little bit of Raindrops Keep Falling on Your Head. Which one do you want to go for?
I've got to be Raindrops.
There we go.
Oh, well, there we have it then.
Seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun. And I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job. Those raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling. But there's one. Soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying. Up to greet me. Raindrops keep falling on me.
soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me.
Key change. That's the important thing. Wonderful. It's marvellous. Abigail getting carried away because she is Canadian. It happens. Richard Edwards is back with us and doing awesome material, including his rants and raves, because the, let's face it, SFX magazine, of which he is the editor, is the world's number one sci-fi magazine. How are you, Richard Edwards?
I'm very good. Yeah, very good, thanks.
And the good news is that your choice of poster for the competition that we'll be running, launching on May the 4th, be with you, closing on July the 4th, Independence Day, see what you did there, was indeed the right choice. I quite like that, a sort of more nebulous one, but we went for the big, bold rocket ship one.
You can't beat the big space rocket.
You can't. I mean, that's the classic line. And indeed, I've just been doing all sorts of things with respect to big orbital stage rockets, etc. If you're interested in finding out about this competition, which is open, it's two stages we've actually got, like a two-stage rocket, for under-18s and young writers, etc. 250 words of fiction, focusing on space themes, science fiction thing, etc. Some awesome Amazon gift vouchers. I don't know, I'm putting on the spot here, but I mean, do you think maybe, I don't know, some sort of SFX goodie bag could be provided as well for the winner?
We'll see.
They'd be marvellous. Anyway, five fine folk in the studio. Ben Lewis had his first experience of a science fiction event with Sci-Fi Weekender recently.
Indeed.
Yep. Didn't manage to speak to Brian Blessed, but had his photograph taken with Sam Jones. What's not for love?
I've had a chat with Sam a couple of times.
He'd save every one of us.
Exactly.
And, interestingly enough, the Sam Jones connection, Flash Gordon connection, continues with the current edition of SFX magazine, because a wonderful mutual friend and colleague and US editor of SFX magazine, that, of course, is the wonderful Tara Bennett, has got a full interview with Timothy Dalton.
And Doom Patrol, yeah.
And Hot Fuzz. And all the James Bond films.
Well, two of them, to be precise.
Yes.
Which were, of course?
Living Daylights.
Correct.
And Tomorrow Never Dies?
No, that was Pierce Brosnan. That was Living Daylights and License to Kill.
Oh, License to Kill, that was it.
I don't know, sometimes students...
I don't want that two's all right. It's not many people my age know James Bond films, anyway.
It's a 50% success rate. But yes, Timothy Dalton, I mean, looking quite interesting. I mean, do you not think that's a bit of a scary Timothy Dalton pose? It's very scary.
He's changed from what I last saw him.
Part of the Doom Patrol, the former 007 talks playing Dr. Niles, the Chief Calder, in Doom Patrol. Born originally in Colwyn Bay, Wales, key Manchester City supporter, nice. Greatest hits, Flash Gordon, License to Kill, The Rocketeer, Chuck, Hot Fuzz, Penny Dreadful. Didn't actually mention Living Daylights there, however. Random fact, the second time Doom Patrol co-stars Timothy Dalton and Brendan Fraser have worked together, the first, of course, being Looney Tunes Back in Action from 2003, which, of course, as Abigail will attest to, was a movie from the 20th century. No, it's to the 21st century, of course, 2003, 2002.
Yes.
Earlier in the production, Richard, and you might be able to just provide an input in this, Abby, you were concerned about the timing of a book. Would you like to explain why you were concerned?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm in a course called 21st Century British Fiction, so I was wanting to use a book from 2002, and I wasn't sure if that was too close to the 1,000 mark to be considered 21st century, because I knew that the line was blurry.
I think that's 21st century.
I think technically it is, but I feel like if the line is blurry, there's a chance that maybe it's not.
I think it is. And you just actually had the editor-in-chief of SFX magazine actually confirming that. I mean, I know we've got the lead writer from Starburst magazine coming up as well, but bottom line, I think it is.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I'll bring that to my professor so he can't say no to me using it in my essay.
Yeah, exactly. So you should, you know, fight for the right to party, as you probably never say in Canada, but still. Or partay.
Oh.
You said mine was bad, Abigail.
Oh, boy.
moving on. Have you ever actually been to Canada, Richard?
I have, actually. Yeah, my sister lives in Canada.
Oh, whereabouts?
So she lives in Winnipeg at the moment, but she's lived mainly in Calgary, and she's going back to Calgary soon. So, yes, I have been. She got married out there, actually, and she is married to a Canadian, so, you know.
That's lovely.
Exactly, it's the emotional sort of equivalent of all sorts of things. And one of the things we haven't revealed for a wee while as yet, Abigail has actually been a supporting artist in an awesome series called...
It's Titans, but I wasn't like on it. I was in the background.
In the background, you know,
extra.
I'm there for fluff.
No, support. Sorry, what did you say?
For fluff.
Don't say that. It's got.
Oh no! Yeah. Is it another word? Another word over here. No. Oh no!
Saying you're on a film set as a fluff. Don't go there at all.
Dangerous territory.
What did I say?
I mean, I can tell Richard's almost dropped the phone in shock on that basis, thinking, well, this is not going to get me in credibility.
Stop, I'm scared. What did I just say?
With my friends at Total Film, you know, please, you know, just step away from it. Right? Supporting artist. Okay,
yes,
supporting
okay,
artist.
I'll just leave it.
Exactly. Sometimes, Richard, you go live with these Canadians, you don't know what could happen, but probably if you've got one in the family, you know that. What are the highlights, apart from The Twilight Zone, and, of course, the fact that you've said the end is nigh for Game of Thrones? I will actually quote from your very own words, Richard, in the opening line from The Ed Zone. Some shows have you at hello. Game of Thrones grabbed me when Jaime Lannister pushed Bran Stark out of a window at the end of episode one. I should probably point out that I'm not normally one to celebrate defenestration, especially of a child, but this moment of unexpected violence announced that this was a show prepared to go to places few others would dare. A bit like, obviously, Abigail's choice of terms for being a supporting artist.
I could cry right now.
Yeah, the best bit is her mate, who's listening to this, does not understand what the hell's going on either.
Exactly.
She's not messaging me. Hopefully she's not listening.
She's not Googled it. Is she?
Don't worry. But, I mean, I think it's fair to say, Bethany, you're quite a Game of Thrones fan.
I am recently, yeah, because I've just started watching them to try and catch up before...
Before the end.
Seven. We're on about season six.
Before the final thing. So, I mean, what are your thoughts? Because clearly this has got the whole notion of 11 Westeros stars on the biggest TV finale in history. A little bit of hyperbole there. The biggest TV finale in history. Is that going to be the case, Richard?
I think it's certainly one of the most anticipated. I think in terms of scale, it's just off the charts. I mean, the amount of money they've spent on it. I mean, this is as big as any fantasy movie. So, yeah. Yeah, I think it is kind of a big deal, and you know, some people talk about, you know, that you don't have water cooler TV so much anymore, and everything wants to be on Netflix or Sky or whatever. This is a show that everyone will be tuning into as soon as they possibly can to watch. I mean, some people will be getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch it. So yeah, I think it is a big deal, and I don't think there's ever really been a show that's been quite this big. You know, just in terms of both scale, in terms of audience, and I think just getting an audience who would never go near fantasy watching a big fantasy show.
Just intriguingly enough, whilst we're talking about that, I have actually managed to upload Abigail's photograph onto Facebook, and she does look pretty scary there. You know, where she wears a bright orange hoodie.
It's a new profile picture for you there, Abigail.
I'm really having a hard time today.
I wouldn't say that. It's excellent stuff, really. Isn't it?
It's been quite the evening. Mm-hmm. Already.
Quite the evening, and Richard, just for you, it was earlier in the part of the programme, Bethany said, I've got to leave at 6 o'clock. It's now 23 minutes, 20 seconds.
Just a dissertation.
Yeah. Listen, Richard is an editor. He might be able to help with some advice about what happens when you've gone 3,000 words over the limit.
3,000 words over my word count, and it's tricky to edit, I'm not going to lie. Got any tips?
How do you chop 3,000 words away from your babies, Richard?
It feels like my child.
Well, it depends how many words you sort of started off with and how much you're coming down to, I guess. But it's just been... kill your darlings, I guess, sometimes the sort of the jokes go, or you know, it's just make sure you're not repeating yourself. I mean, get someone else to have a look at it is a good start. Get someone else to have a read, and they'll look at it with different eyes and say, well, you know, what is flabby, because it's very hard to edit yourself, I reckon.
So there we are. The considered thoughts of Richard Edwards.
Thank you.
It was well worth sorting through from that point of view. You know, we've got to squeeze in both Phil Ianis in Los Angeles and Robin Pierce, who will have lots of comments on this show, and of course our sci-fi Scarborough adventure. Who knows? He might obviously be listening to yourself, Emily, and of course Eloise, on tour with all sorts of other bits and pieces. So I shall actually, because you've got a Canadian bond here, and I feel as though we have bonded, I shall ask Abigail to put those last two questions to you. Take it away, please, Abigail LeMay.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed.
Lovely, and will you be joining us again?
I would hope so.
No hope about it. I mean, it's essential, really. I mean, the world will not continue if we do not have our ace correspondent, Richard Edwards, and indeed judge of the sci-fi short story competition, or mini short story, flash fiction, as part of the whole thing. Now, two things to finally choose from, Richard. We can offer you either Cinderella Rockefeller, Esther and Abby Oferim, or Benjamin Wallace's Shazam theme. Are you going to go Shazam, or are you going to go Cinderella Rockefeller? It's up to you. I mean, this determines what kind of mood our Starburst lead writer will be in. I know technically the opposition, but let's deal with that in a civilised handover from SFX to Starburst.
I am going to go with Shazam because I've seen the film and I absolutely loved it. And I think it should be shouted about with the exclamation mark that is at the end of its name. Shazam!
Of course. It's the way forward. think Sam Stone would be quite happy if that was used as the theme tune for Robin Pierce's entry into every month's edition of the Stone Tapes. New, brand new episode coming up very, very soon. But what does Robin Pierce say? Because after all, this is the time, effectively, Eloise and Emily, we kind of really find out what, you know, when push comes to shove, was that whole audio postcard from Scarborough worth waiting for? Was the fact that I've tagged in Robin Pierce into the photograph with the hamster of the team today? Who, Robin Pierce, are you there?
Well, absolutely. You should know by now that all you've got to do is say Shazam and the Welsh Wonder will appear.
Yeah.
And I would look good in red spandex.
Very exactly.
Why are they laughing? Why are they laughing?
Yeah. I mean, it's as good as basically Abigail looks in her orange hoodie.
Now, that is quite startling, isn't it?
It is. You know, I mean, I was thinking, if it was red, it's like Nicholas Rogue's Don't Look Now, personified. You know?
Well, I don't want to sound creepy here, Abigail, but you are on my computer screen right in front of me right now, and I'm thinking, wow, do I need to adjust the colour on this screen?
Yeah.
I did not think that this was the backlash I was going to receive today.
It's supportive, Abigail. It's supportive. That's the important thing. Mm. Like a supporting artist as opposed to...
We're going to leave it.
I was listening earlier on when you didn't know what a certain word meant.
Yeah.
I want you to stop chuckling, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to feel as though my work as an educator is done if I can at least sort out certain words you don't use in CVs or various other bits and pieces. If, you know, you're just not sure about the whole fluff mentality. But still, heaven only knows what Alan Fluff Freeman would have actually done back in the day, but still, that was another presenter, and sadly, he's no longer with us, but never mind. So, Robin, okay, thoughts and views, please, on the show so far in a kind of Poison Ivy, Carmine Infantino way, or whichever standard you used to progress.
Did you like the photograph?
Superb.
Because you mentioned in the Sci-Fi Scarborough piece that particular comic book was your entry point into the DC universe. Mine was also Batman, as a matter of fact. Don't know if you ever got with this one. It was Batman 186 with a... Now, let's be very politically correct here. Mm-hmm. There is a minimally challenged guy in a Harlequin costume on Batman's shoulders, holding his hands over Batman's eyes, while the Joker goes in for a punch. Yeah. And on the cover it says, "For laughing out loud, the clown prince of crime is back with a new hilarious henchman, the Joker's original robberies." And I've got that one as well.
Marvellous.
Not the original, but
no, exactly.
I'm going to turn this on its head, the whole Sci-Fi Scarborough thing, and I need to ask you guys a question. Please tell me about the weak bridge.
Eloise.
Weak
bridge?
No, weak, not wheat.
I was about to say, that would have been totally different.
Sorry, it must be my Welsh accent. I do apologise.
Well, basically, the sat-nav decided to take us the wrong way, and we ended up going over this... bridge at the
or
back
the
of
right way.
No, no,
or the
there
right
is way. No wrong way for sat nav.
Well, it would have fallen in the water. But
I have ended up on a mountain before now, thanks to the sat nav.
Those of you who appreciate The Man with the Golden Gun and the sequence where Roger Moore is driving Sheriff Pepper along, and they think, "You lost him now, boy." And then there's a kind
sure
of yeah, it was a bridge not unlike that. I think it's fair to say.
Oh my goodness! Did you do the complete 360 degree?
I was very tempted, but I thought
it was done by a mechanic. Actually, fun fact: it was done by one of the mechanics because the stunt driver was way ill.
Did Alex actually turn round to the rest in the car and say, "Ever heard of Evel Knievel?"
I was tempted, but I thought no. It's Eloise's first solo trip. You're riding shotgun.
And then when he came down the other side of the bridge, he went, "Yay!"
Yeah, anyway.
So what was it like going to your first sci-fi convention? Were you intimidated? Were you overawed?
Emily, I think that's for you, because let's face it, Eloise, how many have you done now?
Far too many to count.
There you are.
Oh, Eloise, you're hardened to all this.
Oh,
Emily,
yes.
What was your take on it all?
Well, it was my first one, and it was different to how I expected it was going to be, but it was good to talk to people that I wouldn't usually get to speak to. And I met a guy that was an Ewok in Star Wars, so I was happy.
Ah, so I heard, yeah.
Once you've met an Ewok, there's nothing more to live for. Exactly.
Well, the first convention I went to, it was the Wales Comic Book And it was, I think it was the second one they ever did. And I found myself talking to three people who operated Jabba the Hutt's tail. And I thought that was as good as it was going to get until Caroline Munro walked in.
And are we talking Lamb's Navy, Caroline Munro? Or are we talking Spy Who Loved Me, Caroline Munro?
We're talking Naomi, the Spy Who Loved Me, Caroline Munro, and also Star Crash, Caroline Munro.
Well, she's not very good with helicopters, then.
She's not very good with helicopters, but in Star Crash...
But the wink was very good, I thought.
Yeah, that's true.
Wearing
the wave.
Wearing a bikini and go-go
exactly.
boots.
These, of course, for those of you who are not accessing James Bond classic movies, are things you can actually look forward to in terms of treats. You know, when you've submitted your dissertation, Bethany, watch The Spy Who Loved Me. Watch The Man with the Golden Girl.
I'm sure it'll be on the ITV at some point on a Sunday. On a cold Sunday.
Can I just butt in and just say, don't watch Moonraker. It's awful. That's my least favourite Bond film.
I think he's attempting re-entry, sir.
Mm.
Surely one of the classic lines.
You know, the
thing
to flap his arms and just fall into that circus.
Yeah,
it's all over.
Yeah, but then it's the nice bit at the end with Jaws and the little friendship starts to blossom.
It's so romantic.
Jaws gets into a relationship and you hear him speak for the first time.
Don't
and when you've got when you've got keeping the whole theme going, a lead actress, Lois Charles, who plays Holly Goodhead. What's not to love? Anyway, so bye.
It does have one of the best Bond movie or a Bond villain lines, so, you know, put him out of my misery.
Mm. Let us progress. Any thoughts on the show this evening?
Very enjoyable, as usual. I did love, by the way, the All That Glitters Is Not Gold song. That, to me, would be good writing music. I'm not quite sure about your repeated theme of offering people...
Moldy Old Dough? Lieutenant Pigeon? Cinderella Rockefeller?
I remember that one. No.
Beyonce was the right call. Beyonce was the best call.
You know what? Cinderella Rockefeller is an earworm. If I hear that, it's going to be in my head.
It'll take us around to Los Angeles.
You don't know what you've just done. You don't know what you've just done.
You're the lady. You're the lady that I love.
Oh,
Rockefeller.
Do we need to listen to it now? Because I feel like we have.
They were.
Do you remember, have you guys seen Star Trek The Wrath of Khan?
Well, I have, but I don't think anybody else will have done.
Captain Kirk, yes. Of course, realises that he's been trapped by...
Gone!
Yeah, so what I want to do at the moment is...
I mean, they call this radio, do they?
It's pushing those boundaries.
Well, yeah, this is dramatic radio. Mm. I mean, was it only last week that you and I did a duet?
Precisely. Take that, American Cousins, that's what I say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's move on to the two final questions. Who would you like to ask them to you, Robin Pierce?
Okay, I got to go with the orange hoodie, I'm afraid, because it's still there in front of me. So, yeah. Abigail, ask away.
Okay. That was so not enthusiastic. Okay, here we go. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed, thank you very much.
Wonderful, and will you be joining us again?
See, there was more enthusiastic in the first one, because that sounds like, oh God, you're not coming back again.
Okay, let me try it again. and will you be joining us again?
I would be absolutely love to, yes.
Great.
Chin.
Say it again.
I love your chinny chin chin.
Yadda fella, drops me.
Rockefeller.
Yadda fella, drops me.
Rockefeller.
You're my Rockefeller.
I'm your Rockefeller.
I love your face.
It's in the right place.
I love your mind.
That's very kind.
I love your jazz.
Razzmatazz.
I love your jazz. Razzmatazz.
Rockefeller,
you're my Rockefeller.
You're my Cinderella.
Ooh, I love you.
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 So Phil Leonis has just left us an answer phone. Never mind, we will connect in some way, shape or form. Probably tomorrow morning, so worry not, Abigail. We may well return to Robin Pierce, hopefully, connecting from that point of view. But when Abigail has been talking about, obviously, channeling the inner Abigail LeMay, there is one particular piece of music that has always sprung to mind in so many ways, even though I'm not sure whether these guys are actually Canadian, but I defy you to listen to this without thinking, yep, yeah, that's Abigail LeMay doing her stuff.
Look at me while he's with that other girl. Do you think he was just doing that to make me jealous? Because he was totally texting me all night last night, and I don't know if it's a booty call or not. So, like, what do you think? Did you think the girl's pretty? How did that girl even get in here? Do you see her? She's so short, and that dress is so tacky. Who wears cheetah? It's not even summer. Why does the DJ keep on playing Summertime Sadness? After dinner in the bathroom, can we go smoke a cigarette? I really need one. But first, let me take a selfie.
Abigail, take some selfies in the studio. Why not? Go for it, girl. That's the important thing. We say Phil Leonis is back with us. How are you, Phil?
I'm good. I'm frantic.
frantic, exciting stuff. I presume, given the challenges you're faced with Chilpack Hollywood these days and breakfast clubs and various other bits and pieces, you haven't had a chance to listen to any of the programs, so you have to wait until the podcast is released.
Well, I would listen to the podcast regardless, of course, just to catch anything that I only heard once.
Marvellous. In the studio, five fine folk, one of whom has been making her debut in Lincoln, although she has worked with me in Teesside, and it's been a hectic week, hasn't it, really, since you actually got that first call to actually come along and talk on Friday, I believe.
With it's been busy.
Yeah, the day after you're in Scarborough, meeting Ewoks, and people who are in Nightmare and Chuckle Vision. And here you are in Lincoln, and you know, in a couple of days' time, back in Teesside, sorting out details with respect to Middlesbrough Football Club and Fly Me to the Moon and so on. But anyway, that's the voice of Emily Hartley from North Allerton, a very exciting place, Phil. Well worth checking out, for the truth is out there. Two ancient mysteries. There's a railway station and two churches. Two churches and a railway station.
Well, you have read my mind. First, because you just revealed to me apparently where Ewoks are from.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
Exactly.
But I am very excited because I've been making some spectacular headway. While everything else, as you know, technologically has been challenging us for the last couple of weeks, I have used this opportunity to make some terrific headway into the long-awaited sequel to The Truth Is Out There. And so I think it's pretty safe to say that Bill Larinus and Lily Holloman will be coming to your side of the pond in spring of 2020 debut this film.
Just for the Olympics.
Exactly. This is exciting in so many marvellous ways. Bethany, it almost makes you want to do that postgraduate course just to actually connect with these.
Are the Olympics in London in 2020?
No, Tokyo.
I don't know why. I don't know where he was going with that myself, actually.
No, but Tokyo is 2020, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a presidential election.
Yeah, exactly.
There's hindsight. Hindsight is 2020.
Exactly.
You see what I did there? And, but I was excited that it might be in London because certainly when it comes to feature documentaries that nobody's asked for, mine might just win a bronze medal.
Exactly.
So that would be really exciting.
And the Euros as well, wasn't it, I think?
Yes.
Yes. So actually, 2020 is a very big year for Siren.
Yeah, and the human race as a whole, in many ways, we might well say.
True.
We might indeed not even be part of the European Union then. Who knows?
Well, I don't know. At this rate, I think there'll be another few more years at least, Alex.
Wait a second. You just said for the human race, we might no longer be a part of the European Union. You're saying that... That the human race is leaving.
No.
That is a very large.
We are the national radio broadcaster of human race.
Ben, you speak as somebody who, up until 2 hours ago, was uncertain about Neanderthal. So
that,
you know,
it's very true.
Very true.
But every day is a school day, Alex. Every day is a school day.
If Abigail hadn't actually decided to take you under her orange, bright, luminescent wing. You know, this would not have occurred. Oh, what fun times! But anyway, Abigail.
You're throwing out great names for songs, by the way. I mean, I think if the Midweek Drive had a record album, you've just under what is it?
Orange luminescent.
What did you just say about the under the orange?
Orange luminescent arms.
Say it again. Why not?
Under Abigail's orange luminescent arms.
There's wing. There was definitely wing in there.
Oh, wings.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Abigail, you were very excited. In fact, we gave a whoop of joy, or a squeal of joy, which was very exciting when you came in to actually say that, you know, Phil Linus is here because you like his sass in many ways. So.
No, that's what Ben said.
Oh, right, fair.
But I do always love to hear that Phil is on the show because it's nice to hear someone with a normal accent talking.
A normal accent.
Yeah, I feel like I've been an alien in the world. Over here.
Yeah. I mean, Emily, do you feel like an alien having sort of landed in Lincoln? I mean, an hour or so from now, you'll be heading back to Northallerton.
Home of
Ewoks.
It's very different down here. I'm not used to...
Yeah, they're southerners, Emily. I've had to get used to it over the years. In the end, all you can do is actually stick true to yourself, to thine own self be true, as the oracle at Delphi once said, and hope for the best. That's the important thing.
I'm an alien now in this room because I'm the only southerner in this room.
That's...
Yeah. Well, no, are you south of Watford? You are south of Watford.
Don't make me fight you, Ben. South as well.
That's all right, then. Well, we must be an alliance.
You're listening to Structured, a Concerned Radio on Siren Radio, the station that brings you the very best. Okay, we'll do the same line that we've used as a technique. Phil, whom would you like to speak to? Who would you like to ask you questions? Would it be Eloise? Would it be Bethany? Would it be Abigail? Would it be Emily? Would it be Ben? I mean, delighted you're coming back because, of course, Emma Tinson gave up and decided to actually get engaged before rather than sort of wait because she was waiting for you to come back to Lincoln, etc. I don't know. You got married. So anyway, who do you wish to go to for the current team of Midweek Drivettes?
That explanation about Emma Tinson sounded really awkward.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
so just step away.
Something untoward was going on.
Not as awkward as Abigail's view of what she used to be as a performing artist.
I thought we were letting it go. Nobody is moving past.
It's all right. It's okay.
All right, but I want a lightning round around the room of the co-presenters. To each hit me with their highlight of this particular broadcast.
Okay, Emily. Eloise.
My highlight was that Graham Harper was back, so that always makes me happy.
Exactly. Bethany.
I'm really sorry, Abigail, but my highlight has just been teasing you. It's been really fun. Uh-huh. Like, really good.
Yeah, that's Bethany, dominatrix in her spare time. She likes to whip things out.
Oh, I also really liked the song Strong. There we go.
All right, okay. Ben.
My favourite highlight today was Abigail's jumper.
To be fair.
Very orange and very welcoming.
I've had it with you.
And Abigail.
Oh, knowing that Phil was coming on the show.
Second chance for you, Emily. Highlight.
Well, I just think it's all been great. I've enjoyed it all.
Very glad. Very good.
That was a nice wrap.
That's very diplomatic.
Phil, you've got another 8 minutes, so you can entertain as you wish, basically. I'm going to go off and tag some photographs.
Where's Richard Fitzwilliams when I need him? You know what? I just came from a presentation about Ernie Kovacs. And Ernie Kovacs was an early pioneer of television, especially television comedy, that largely has been forgotten because, you know, we don't have a whole lot of the kinescopes from early television. But this man was so influential. And I got to see some of the rare footage, and it's funny today, which is so often not the case for television comedy from 50, 60 years ago. And without him, there's no David Letterman, there's no Conan O'Brien, there's no Jon Stewart in this country. And I really have no point here, except that I'm still kind of my head swimming on this, because it was a brand new medium, and he was using it expertly at a time when everybody else was still figuring out what do the cameras do. So it was very inspiring. It was very inspiring to realize that so many greats in entertainment, in all medium, they started out with nothing except a sense of wonder and play, and hey, I wonder what this will do. So I hope all of you Drivettes, midweek Drivettes, will take that spirit with you as you continue to explore your own adventures. Realize that great things often start from people just wanting to play around and wonder what will happen.
And indeed, the only follow-up to those words have to be,
we thank you very sweetly for doing it so neatly. You've killed us so completely that we thank you very sweetly.
That's the words, you know, taken from the Munchkins. And what better way could you actually have to round off the whole sequence? And the sequence which also opens up the Royal Radio production for tomorrow. I know, Bethany, you could have been on that show. Munchkin Heaven. Right. Always moves people when we have Munchkins.
Alex, are you going to be doing any reports from Sci-Fi London this year?
Yes, May the 17th. That's when we'll be heading down. It's pretty much confirmed now. We'll be hooking up with Graham Harper and a few others. But yes, the idea is we will. And of course, Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore will probably be on location as well. We'll have a team of folk down there. Sadly, Eloise didn't manage to get a 48-hour movie challenge together, but never mind.
Sorry,
okay.
I'm useless.
No, don't. No, 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 and thrice no. There's always next year. That's the important thing. So, does that answer your question?
Will you be broadcasting live, or are these going to be recorded?
I suspect they're going to be recorded specials. We're thinking about broadcasting live. Yeah, it's exactly. It depends. I mean, Louis might sort of have something to say about the whole thing. We'll see what he does.
I mean, if you were going live, I might just have to get Skype working again so that I could.
Well, there we are. Well, hopefully tomorrow morning all will be well, because Richard will be talking about Us. That, of course, is Jordan Peele's Us, and Yuli. Those are his two lines. No Shazam, I know, shocking. And equally, no sign as yet of Hellboy, which I really thought he would actually be accessing as well. Never mind. So that's Richard Fitzwilliams. Of course,
is that already out there? Is that already out?
Hellboy, it's released this week.
Oh, okay. All right. Because the premiere was this week in New York, I knew. All right. Yeah. And that, in other news, I just found out that there's a new Hellboy movie.
Yes, there we are. So that's what it's all about. Phil, as the senior telephonic co-presenter and indeed keeper of the hearts of so many midweek Drivettes over the years, frankly, it's just, I've lost count, you know, we're into the hundreds now. Would you like to ask the team, that of course being Ben Lewis, Eloise Sheehan, Bethany Gulliver, Abigail LeMay and Emily Hartley, those last two questions?
me to ask them the last two questions. So that's ten questions.
It's reversing. It's reversing the. It's a reversing the polarity of the neutron flow.
Okay. Well, in answer to your question, as all the things you described so lovingly, do I want to do this? The answer is no.
Excellent. Very well said. Okay, that means it's over to Abigail. And bear in mind, Becky might be listening to this. With or without Beyoncé. Besser with Destiny's Child, obviously.
Oh, boy.
Would you like to put those last two questions to Phil, please?
Yeah. Okay. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Enthusiasm, like that enthusiasm. That's good, yeah.
I liked it. It was one of the most enthusiastic. It sounded like a very enthusiastic person reading off a cue card.
It was. A cue card in my brain.
I have a cue card. Another great song title. I have enjoyed it. I feel I have not been at the top of my game. I missed the call first. So this is why we have these rehearsals, and I can't wait to start the show.
Nice, lovely. Well, then I guess you'll be joining us again.
Yes, I'll be back next week.
Okay.
You're not doing tomorrow morning. We had you down for tomorrow morning, Phil.
It's still, but you need me to Skype, and I still can't. I don't know if I can do it. Oh. I still can't. If I can figure it out, I will. But okay. I think it's very slim. Yeah, but it's cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
What a classic movie. Lynn McFarlane will take us out of the programme, but we thank Anna Lewis, William Cole, Chantal Duncan, DL, Richard Edwards, Graham Harper, Robin Pierce and Phil Leonis, and of course Abigail LeMay, Emily Hartley, Bethany Gulliver and Eloise Sheehan and Ben Lewis. Did I say you before?
No.
I said you now. That's fine. We're out of here. Don't forget all wonderful things coming through. The Siren Cinema Show is actually coming up next as far as Siren's concerned. We're back tomorrow morning with the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Abigail, will you be with us?
Yes.
Nice. Bethany, I won't even ask.
No, it's not my fault. I'm sorry.
Worry not, because I can actually reveal with the little pieces of paperwork here that we will be joined tomorrow morning by Rory McGowan, Kira Alsbrook, Emma Street and Ben Lewis, so all will be well. You know, Eloise can sleep on, it's great.
Woo.
And prepare herself possibly for the tattoo of all tattoos, the mother of all tattoos. We just don't know what's going to happen with respect to that. It may happen, it may not happen. It's just very, very strange. We'll hold it back.
Well, I feel like you need to break into regular programming for that once we find out.
Exactly. We get Brexit, it's the way forward. Okay, happy trails. Can we all say happy Wednesday? One, two, three.
Happy Wednesday!
Happy Wednesday!
Tell me how.